From NPR News in Washington, I'm Giles Snyder. An elaborate ceremony today at the Vatican. Speaking in Latin and heard here through a BBC interpreter, Pope Benedict beatified his predecessor, John Paul II.
De congregationis de causi sanctorum consulto, auctoritate nostra apostolica.
After having heard the judgment of the Congregation for the Causes of the Saints, we, by our apostolic authority, grant that the venerable servant of God, John Paul II, Pope, from this moment on be called blessed.
The ceremony puts John Paul a step closer to sainthood. The BBC's David Willey reports tens of thousands crowded St. Peter's Square this morning.
Rome's never seen crowds this size since the death of Pope John Paul 6 years ago. St. Peter's Square filled up shortly after dawn. Nuns strummed guitars, young Catholics sang hymns, and many pilgrims waved yellow and white Vatican flags. Heads of state and government from 16 countries are present, plus official delegations from 70 more. Security is tight. Helicopters patrol overhead, police boats cruise on the River Tiber, and 5,000 soldiers are helping to man the barricades and checkpoints which have been set up to control the flow of the crowds.
The Libyan government says a NATO airstrike today struck the home of one of Muammar Gaddafi's sons. Spokesman Musa Ibrahim says Gaddafi and his wife escaped unharmed, but that Gaddafi's youngest son was killed.
The attack resulted in the martyrdom of brother Saif al-Arab Muammar Gaddafi, 29-year-old, and three of the leader's grandchildren.
Libyan officials denounced the attack as a violation of international law. British Prime Minister David Cameron, without confirming the deaths, told the BBC that the strike was in line with the UN mandate to prevent a loss of civilian life because it targeted Gaddafi's war-making machine. NATO acknowledges it struck a military target in Tripoli but denies it targeted Gaddafi's family. In Afghanistan, two separate attacks have killed at least 6 people and wounded at least 20 a day after the Taliban announced the beginning of a spring offensive. NPR's Quill Lawrence reports that one of the attackers was a 12-year-old boy.
A government spokesman in eastern Paktika province said that a young boy walked into a crowded bazaar and detonated a suicide vest, killing men and women. Among the dead was the chairman of the local tribal council. Taliban representatives have announced that all government officials will be considered targets during a spring offensive they said would begin today. In the same statement, however, the Taliban said they would avoid civilian casualties. The second bombing at a public square in the city of Ghazni had no discernible military target. Afghan monitors blame the insurgents for the majority of civilian deaths in the conflict. Most embassies and international organizations in Afghanistan remain on high alert because of the Taliban's announcement. Quill Lawrence, NPR News, Kabul.
They're listening to NPR News. A new agreement between rival Palestinian factions is delaying the transfer of tax money to the Palestinian Authority. Israel's finance minister says he will hold up the transfer of some $89 million in customs and other levies that Israel collects on behalf of the Palestinians. He says Israel fears the money will be used to fund Hamas, the Islamist group that runs the Gaza Strip. A federal judge in Chicago has a group of 45 potential jurors that he thinks will be fair, and the trial of former Illinois Governor Rob Blagojevich. Chicago Public Radio's Robert Wildebohr reports it's been a tough process.
Blagojevich's trial last summer ended with the jury deadlocked on 23 of the 24 counts against him. They did convict him of lying to the FBI. But the high-profile trial made it more difficult to find jurors for his retrial. Many of the would-be jurors told the judge they already think he's guilty, but that wasn't enough to get them booted. One had even downloaded this quote from FBI wiretaps on the governor's phone.
I mean, I've got this thing, and it's f***ing golden.
The potential juror had that quote as a ringtone on his phone, but the judge believed him when he said he could set aside his opinions and judge the case based only on what's presented in court. Defense attorneys will likely use one of their peremptory strikes to knock him off the jury. Opening statements are scheduled for Monday. For NPR News, I'm Robert Wildebohr in Chicago.
The death toll is inching higher from the tornado outbreak that hit 7 southern states last week. At least 342 people are now known to have died. National Guard troops and various volunteer groups, meanwhile, are helping survivors clean up the destruction. I'm Giles Snyder, NPR News, from Washington.